Spokane's Civic Poet Laureate program began in 2013 with the appointment of Tom Carraway as the Lilac City's first Poet Laureate. He served a two-year term, followed by Laura Reed and then Mark Anderson. Each Poet Laureate has used the position in their own unique way to promote literature and the arts through a variety of readings, events, workshops, and more. Spokane Arts announced this month that the next Poet Laureate will be Chris Cook. I recently sat down with Cook, as well as Spokane's outgoing Poet Laureate, Mark Anderson. I asked Anderson first to look back at his time as Poet Laureate and the projects he's most proud of.
First of all, it went by in the blink of an eye. Very quick 2 years, kind of hard to believe it's over. A couple of the biggest things that I got to do were I put together Poetry at the Podium, which is basically a project where we had a poet open every city council meeting for the year of 2019. I've had a lot of fun organizing the Lit Crawls, mm-hmm. also with Spokane Arts. And that's basically an event where it's kind of like a pub crawl, besides we also have readers at each location. And those have been really fun. And we like to kind of bring in readers from different parts of the Spokane community. Another really thing that I've enjoyed is going around and meeting writers from all the different writing communities in Spokane and trying to find ways to bring people together from disparate sides of our writing community.
Bringing different communities together is also a priority for Chris Cook. The new Poet Laureate is well known to the local poetry scene. He has competed in World Individual Poetry Slam competitions, hosts the 3-Minute Mic series at Auntie's Bookstore, and co-hosts Baby Bar's Broken Mic series. Cook is also a member of the Spokane Symphony and professor of music at Gonzaga University.
I love when we cross-pollinate the arts. We've found with the Spokane Symphony, I play trumpet with them, I think that we've found that we welcome in new audience members when we collaborate with other arts organizations or other arts forms. I would love to collaborate with the Spokane Symphony with my poetry, and so we've already discussed the possibility of adding my poetry to one or more events next year for our 75th anniversary season.
Neat. Yeah, and I think you're uniquely positioned as sort of a Renaissance man, so that makes sense that you're wanting to sort of reach out to the different arts.
Yeah, and it's not a new idea. I mean, it dates back to ancient Greece when the word music meant the art of the muses, like all of the arts. And so the muses of poetry and dance and sculpture and visual art and what we now think of as music were freely mixed and matched and called music. So I do love combining my poetry with music, and I've done it before, and I look forward to doing it again. It exposes us to new audiences.
Yeah. Well, now might be a good time to pause and have you share one of your poems with us.
Yes, actually, this sort of relates to maybe John Cage's idea or redefining of music back in the 60s. And this takes the form of a poem and asks us maybe what poetry is. How do we define it? This is called The Mime Poet, and it's from a collection of mine called The View from the Broken Mic. Open mic for poetry. The room was thick with rhyme. A figure stood and quietly approached the mic, a mime. The crowd that night was tough, and they showed almost no regard for anyone with whitened face, striped shirt, and leotard. A man said, "Great, this crackpot thinks that he's Marcel Marceau." An awkward tension filled the room. Some guy yelled, "Hey, you blow!" Despite the hostile atmosphere, the mime was undeterred. He leaned in toward the open mic, and this is what they heard. Nothing. There was nothing, well, besides the sounds outside. But no one seemed in touch with that. A distant baby cried. And laughter from a couple that was walking hand in hand. A clarinet glissando from a far-off klezmer band. A car alarm, some cursing, and the ticking of a clock, the sounds of birds, a shriek of joy, a fugue by J.S. Bach. A storm blew in, it rained like hell, then just as fast it quit. The sun came out and dried it up, and all was brightly lit. His time was up, and so the mime removed his black beret and placed it on his heart. With that, he bowed and walked away.
That was Chris Cook, Spokane's next poet laureate, who will serve a 2-year term in the position through October 2021. When I asked what other projects he might pursue as poet laureate, Cook had no shortage of ideas.
It's kind of up in the air at this point what kind of open submission projects we will be doing, but I've got some ideas for that, among them that a landmark project, and maybe we could even call it the Spokane Landmark Project, where we have a theme, in this case, Spokane Landmarks, and people can send in their poetry about the clock tower or the garbage goat, but maybe also include the Maxwell House, the Park Inn Tavern, Dick's Drive-In, and so forth. I'd love to do a neighborhood project, sort of a localized version of what Todd Marshall, our GU literature prof and past Washington State Poet Laureate, did. He had a project called Washington 129 that featured 129 poems from Washington poets. I'd like to do a local version of that featuring our neighborhoods. Tom Carraway has already done beautiful poems about West Central. The late, great Tom I. Davis has done gorgeous poetry about his beloved Peaceful Valley. And Anthony Brighton has done an entire book centered in Brown's edition, My Neighborhood. So I would like to see all neighborhoods represented. I'd also like to see a pet project that might benefit the Spokane Humane Society, Spokanimal, and or Scraps. Poetry about Spokane pets. Those organizations have done such an amazing job of serving the community, and I bet there are people that would like to express their thanks and the impact their adopted pets have had on their lives through poetry.
Chris Cook will make his first official appearance as Spokane's Poet Laureate at a torch-passing event this weekend alongside outgoing Poet Laureate Mark Anderson.
Yeah, so that's going to be at Auntie's Bookstore at 7 o'clock on November 2nd. And it's basically going to be a short reading. Chris is going to be reading something. I'll be reading something. And then we're going to be having some readers from, again, different sides of the regional literary community. And we're also trying to have kind of people who are active in those communities who might not be super well known in the larger poetry literary community of Spokane.
After passing the title of Poet Laureate, Anderson has no intention of disappearing from the local poetry scene.
The main thing I want to do is I want to really focus on my own writing a little bit more. I haven't been able to really get much writing time lately, so I want to re-improve those writing habits. I'd also like to... I hosted a lot of writing workshops and kind of created a curriculum that I was hosting them at my house, and now I'm trying to sort of find a location to have those writing workshops outside of my house and make it into a little bit more of a business. That's kind of one of those things I've shelved a little bit, but I'm pretty excited about.
You can see outgoing Poet Laureate Mark Anderson, as well as incoming Poet Laureate Chris Cook, at the Torch Passing event Saturday, November 2nd, 7 p.m. at Auntie's Bookstore in Spokane. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. To take us out, here's one more poem, just in time for Halloween, from Spokane's new poet laureate, Chris Cook.
Here's a poem called Gus the Taxidermist, from my collection of poetry called The View from the Broken Mic. When Gus was 8, he got a junior taxidermy kit. The lad was overjoyed. Indeed, it seemed the perfect fit. So perfect, Gus decided, that he made it his career. His shop was where the sportsmen brought their elk and bear and deer. He's 80 now, but never felt more young, old Gus contends. He says the secret lies in staying close to childhood friends. And that's why Gus has got a secret room just off the den, reserved for Becky, Philip, Stevie, Abigail, and Ben. The town had grieved when long ago the five went unaccounted. Young Gus was home as lovingly he gutted, stuffed, and mounted. These days he tends their every need. He dusts them quite a bit. He loves a rousing game of tag. Works best when Gus is it. The beauty of the perfect suture, realistic eyes, old Gus admires his handiwork. No need to thank me, guys. His little friends continue helping Gus relive his youth and showing him, in special ways, the path to deeper truth. 'Cause thanks to them, he knows you really can go home again to play with Becky, Philip, Stevie, Abigail, and Ben.